All right. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Having fun? Come on. You're having fun, right? You're having fun?
Come on. How's it build? All
right. Let's hear it up. All right.
It's okay.
It's early.
It's early.
Right. I've had like 2 cups of coffee, so I'm already like a little bit hyper about this whole thing, right?
We're from Seattle.
We're used to having that much coffee.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so today, guys, we're going to just have a little conversation. Just a bunch of developers talking about what they love, talking about development. And specifically, we're going to be talking about cross-platform development today. We've got a panel of some of the most brilliant luminaries of cross-platform development at Microsoft sitting up here on stage. You can almost see the light emanating from their heads, right? So from my side, I'll go ahead and start. My name is Ryan J. Salva. I'm representing cross-platform development using JavaScript. So things like Cordova, React Native, even NativeScript. Here we go, JB.
Yeah, I'm JB. I'm the dev lead for the Visual Studio Tools for Unity, bridging Visual Studio and the Unity game engine creation environment.
Awesome. Good to have you here, man.
Thank you.
Excellent. Ankit.
Yeah, I'm Ankit. I work on the Visual C++ team. Lately, I've also been working on cross-platform stuff, Android, iOS. And I'm going to talk about C++ and how C++ is in the mobile game and how it actually pairs with some of the technologies that we're talking about here today.
Awesome.
All right. And you know him. You love him.
Oh, a few of you do. I'm James Montemagno. I'm a developer evangelist at Xamarin. Super excited to be showing you all about how awesome C Sharp is. You guys all know that already. But really empowering iOS, Android, Mac, and Windows development, sharing code, being awesome all in Visual Studio. I'm loving it. I've been doing it for 5 years.
Yeah.
And we're talking, I've shipped like, you know, 70 apps. And not only just talk about it, but creating on a day-to-day basis. I think we all do. We love it.
All right. So we're actually going to keep the flow going with you.
Uh-oh.
And so I want to start off by, this is not your sales pitch. This is not your ad pitch. This is not why Xamarin is awesome. Mm-hmm. This is why you personally chose Xamarin as like the technology that is your technology of choice.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. I used to write printer software for a living. I thought that was a good career right out of college. I was like, printers, they're going places. So I did that for 4 years, and it was awesome. And I went to the final PDC, Big Ten up in Redmond. I was like, I totally want to move here to Seattle. So I decided to do that, and I took a job as a mobile developer. And I remember my boss came in the very first day, and he said, James, we're going to CES in 2 months. We need a native iOS, Android, and a Windows Phone app. Go. And I was like, 2 months, I don't know. I made one Windows Phone app. I was a C-sharp developer.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't know Objective-C, didn't know Java. I could lowercase a bunch of things, you know. And
You're walking in there like a fool.
I was like, I was ambitious. I prototyped with a lot of things. I found Xamarin, and why I fell in love with it is it enabled me as a C-sharp .NET developer, been doing it for a decade, to immediately take my existing skill set of everything I knew and loved about .NET and C-sharp, build native iOS and Android apps, and just learn some new UI.
I'm guessing that's going to be a common theme as we kind of go down here, right?
Yes.
Use your existing skill set.
Yeah, and to me it was about, he said native, I wanted native applications, and I didn't know what that meant, so I looked at all these different frameworks, and when I realized that I was creating the native user interfaces for each, but then building the shared C-sharp backend, I was like, this is what I had already been architecting, but for printers, I can make that a really nice mobile app and power DVRs, and that's what I did. So that's why I loved it, and to see it advance now into so many amazing applications, the developers, what they're making with and our integration. I mean, what Miguel showed with the iOS simulator on a PC, like, that's bananas.
Cool stuff.
So that's why I fall in love with it and continue to fall in love with it, too.
All right. Awesome. Well, Ankit, tell us about your love affair with C++.
Yes.
Give us the romance letters here.
Marshalling, just love.
Yes, I think, like, C++ is a language. I mean, you know, if you go back historically, there's really been only two cross-platform languages. One is C++, and the other one's JavaScript. No offense. And now with Xamarin and some other technologies, you know, C Sharp is entering that realm as well. So what's really happened is that a lot of the enterprise software is still written in C++. C++ is also close to the hardware. So when you're talking about games and, you know, applications which are graphic intensive, also a lot of cross-platform code usage, they tend to use more C++. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at the Android App Store, and maybe you can even have a show of hands here, you know. You guys know how many apps are actually using C++ in the top 100 Android apps that are there today? Does anybody want to go
for it? Come on, guesses, like the jelly beans. Just guess how many are in the jar.
Yes, I think, so it's about like 60% to 50% apps use C++ in the top 100. And that's really because when you're looking for that fluid mechanics, that fluid graphics, that awesome experience in terms of user experience that gives you a platform differentiating experience for your application running on the App Store, and you want to differentiate your app amongst the other millions of apps out there, there's only one answer for cross-platform. That is C++.
All right. Okay. All right. The man's got some affection for C++.
Yeah, I take that C++ and, you know, just bind it and take it into your Xamarin project.
Right. I should
that's
also
awesome.
Yeah,
what
that's
also done, actually.
Yes.
I should appreciate that.
Yes. thanks for the love. And with that said, I mean, I should add there, C++ also has a story. You know, it has a companion story. But you're writing a JavaScript app, you can actually go write a Cordova, you know, plugin in C++.
Yep.
You can actually bring in your C++ code as well in the C# realm with Xamarin and keep reusing it, get the awesome performance. And so C++ has both roles. You can have an end-to-end app in C++. You can also write an app that is a portion of it in C++ for your, you know, for some reason, whether that's reuse or performance. And that's really the play here.
All right.
I think I'll give it to JB.
There's a good reason. Yeah. There's a good reason. All right, so JB.
Yeah.
Tell us about Unity, man.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
dig. Yeah, like... maybe 9 or 10 years ago, I was working for Miguel at a company named Novell, and we were working very hard to create an open source version of .NET. And there was this very small company named Unity that was based in Denmark, and it was like maybe 10, 12 people that decided to create a game creation tool on Mac, and they ended up using Mono as a scripting engine. And I've witnessed those guys grow to there are probably 1,000 people now at Unity. They're still using .NET and C# for the scripting part of the game. And they're in the gaming space on mobile and on desktop. They're really prevalent right now.
Yeah.
And they really exploded. It's a super story for C#.
And
they're really strong.
Everyone that I hear that talks, that uses Unity, like they are super passionate about
it.
Super passionate.
It's really a fantastic tool, especially for people like me who has like no taste in design. It's really easy to get started with Unity and get a few assets from the asset store and start putting things together.
Yeah.
And in no time, you can create a game and deploy it on a million of platforms.
All right, cool. All right, so I'll tell my story for the JavaScript side of things. On the JavaScript side, like I'm what you would call a classic web developer. I spent my entire career just playing around in the web, in part because, well, like the web was what was popular when I graduated from college, and it really allowed me as a creative person to reach a lot of different people, or a lot of different eyeballs that I could not have otherwise done. Like that was the megaphone of the early aughts, right? And so when the economy shifted over to something that was a little bit more app-focused, this is the craziest mic here ever. When the economy shifted over to something that was a little bit more app-focused, I was looking for a way to actually like take those same web development skills and apply them over to app development. And it just so happens that Cordova, at the time, was a really, really good match for that. It allowed me to appropriate my skills as a JavaScript developer, take them over to mobile development, still get like all of those eyeballs that were downloading apps 99 cents at a time, $2 at a time, and like that was a really easy transition. Since then, I've been able to start taking advantage of React, which is an awesome, awesome framework as well, in order to build React Native apps, which are sort of similar to Cordova, is all running in JavaScript, but instead of just using a kind of the DOM to render UI, it also renders native controls, just like you would find with, well, something like Xamarin, for that matter, right? So that's my personal love affair with Cordova. Got to get a little adjustment here. Sorry, guys.
Just like make it a bit closer.
A little bit closer there.
Yeah.
They got to take it down. I'm yoked to this thing. All right. So, next question here. We're gonna kind of go back this way, right?
Yeah,
JB, we're gonna hit you up. So, what unfair advantage does your technology have over all the others?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, the really strong point of Unity is the editor in which you create the game. It's very easy to get started. You create your scene visually. It's very iterative. You can play your game. You can pause it. You can tweak it live. You can see immediately what it does. You can tweak the code. It will reflect immediately in your game. You can change the texture. You can move pieces around. It's really, really easy. You can iterate very fast. And when you're satisfied, it's also very easy to go to the build panel and select for which platform you want to export your game and test your game on different platforms, be it Android, UWP, iOS. Right.
So it's really a tooling thing for you.
It's really a tooling thing.
It's the tooling thing, the kind of fast iterative development.
That's the first thing, and the second thing is having the power of C# and .NET for the scripting part, where you have the entire .NET 3.5 BCL to write all the code of your game.
All right, cool. So, Ankit, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, I think what's unfair about C++ is that if you look at the core IDEs and core technologies that exist that the platform supports. So let's talk about Android for a second. Like Android, the default go-to languages are Java and C++. For iOS, the default set of languages that the platform or Apple supports is Swift, Objective-C, and C++. And then with Windows, we have C# and C++ CX and JavaScript. So C++ is kind of like the common denominator across that every single platform supports at the core level. But you're talking about the platform IDE, when you're talking about like Android Studio, or you're talking about Xcode, or you're talking about Visual Studio, the support is all in there. For some of the other technologies like Xamarin or even Cordova to some extent, these are not really, these are definitely cross-platform technologies, and they've been enormous in being able to help with the cross-platform mobile space, but they're not yet supported at a core level from these companies. So I think that's the unfair advantage that C++ gets. And the other advantage that I think C++ also gets is that because C++ is closer to the hardware, in terms of performance, if you're writing the same piece of code in C++, just the instruction path length that you're going to have, the number of instructions you're going to have in C++ are going to be a lot lesser compared to that in C# or some of the other languages that exist. So that piece of code that you're writing just kind of like works and runs faster. So I think those two are probably the two unfair ones.
It's kind of close to the metal,
and that gives you a
little bit more control over it. And because it's also close to the metal, it's very portable across.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, okay. All right, James.
Well, unfair advantages is interesting because all of our advantages are amazing, I guess.
it's so hard to choose.
It's so hard to choose. To me, it's that I've been a Visual Studio C# developer since I can remember. I found the IDE and I was like, this is where I want to be. C#, statically typed language, everything's coming through. I can find errors, diagnose them ahead of time. But to me, it's really about not only am I sharing my knowledge for .NET across all these platforms, but I am getting close to the metal because I have every single API available to me. And for iOS, Android, Mac, and Windows. And what's the best advantage of that is even if I have to access one of those APIs, like I want to interact with iBeacons or CoreLocation or Apple Pay, I'm doing all of that in C#. And then like we take that and then we elevate it to another level, which is we add all those C# features that we know and love. So if there's a way to async a method, we async await that puppy. Yeah. Events, lambdas, anything that you can think about, like just taking link and just applying that across the board just simplifies your workflow. So you can write like less code, tighter code. We support C#, F#, and everything like that. So any of the great languages, and then we're sharing 70, 80, 90% of code. And then the unfair advantage is that we have another great platform, which is Xamarin Forms, to not only let you share all your business logic, but all of your user interface too. So it's kind of like best of all worlds, really. It's maybe our unfair advantage is all great.
Okay, so
I don't know.
All right, so I hear you saying that you can take advantage of .NET, like
You're getting garbage collection, right? So everything's handled for you. You're not like messing with pointers; like it's all handled for you. You get all that .NET goodness, and then it's compiling to a native application at the end of the day.
All right.
So iOS, everything's ahead of time compiled. We can do the same for Android too.
Yep.
So yeah.
All right.
So
cool.
We try to get as close to the metal as we can get.
All right,
if you will.
All right, so I thought long and hard about this one. For me, the unfair advantage of Cordova is really that, and this is true with any JavaScript-powered language, or JavaScript-powered app, is that it's the only exception to the rule in terms of agreement to the stores where you can update your app without resubmitting to the store. And that's a pretty significant benefit because if any of you have had like a bug fix that you needed to make or an update or something like that, and you needed to actually get it out there without having to wait 3 days, 5 days, 2 weeks in order to publish that update, like that can be painful because you're getting dinged every day with the stars, one star, two star, three star, and that is infuriating. But with the web, and with JavaScript, because you can update and rehydrate that app without resubmitting to the store using a service like CodePush, that allows you to deploy at your own speed, at your own pace, and not be really saddled with having to pass through the gateways of the stores themselves, right? So that is, I would say, JavaScript technology's unfair advantage over the others. All right, so let's just kind of quickly go down the line. I want to hear, maybe Ankit, we'll start with you, buddy. So what is an outstanding application that has been developed using your technology?
Right, so I mean, you know, games is a popular, you know, is a popular apps on the mobile store. If you talk about Clash of Clans, it's a game by Supercell, and Fruit Ninja, which is again a popular game that used to be around. It's still pretty popular on the App Store and top 100. Both these games, are basically written in proprietary C++, and it's cross-platform. And you know, and again, you know, going back to the point I was trying to make, you know, when you're trying to write an app, that's going to differentiate your experience. You know, when there's a million apps out there, and there are about 200,000 games in there, how do you actually build an app that's going to differentiate from an experience point of view, from a you know, feature point of view against the other apps that are out there? Well, one of the ways is to basically use techniques like C++, which helps you, you know, build those kind of fluid animations and graphics.
Right.
And this is what these apps are doing. And then, you know, these apps also leverage, you know, that the advantage that, again, the C++ provides you is the advantage of pairing with other languages. So what these apps also then leverage is basically libraries in Java for Android, for Twitter SDK or Android, or for your Facebook SDK. Same thing with Objective-C on Apple and so on. So I think those are probably the two outstanding apps that a lot of people play and are popular on the App Store.
Yeah. All right, so I imagine there's going to be a lot of games coming out.
Yeah, there's plenty of them.
Hard to choose.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to choose. Like, personal favorite would be Ori and the Blind Forest from Microsoft Studio, which is really, really nice. Hearthstone by Blizzard, also very good. Recently, there's been Super Hot, which was really fun as well. There's a tons of games on all platforms made by Unity, so it's really hard to pick.
All right. James, what's your fave? What's your heart?
It's interesting. So we do have a lot of game engines like Mono Game and Coco Sharp and Uro Sharp that Xamarin developers are using. Good friends up in Canada, Towerfall on multiple platforms, a lot of desktop games, one of my favorites. When it comes to mobile, though, it's interesting. I could talk about consumer applications all day, like Storio and Cinemark, you know, really simplifying their workflow for us on a daily basis. But I actually take it to changing lives a little bit that's out there on a daily basis. Novarum DX is a company I talked about a little bit in some videos earlier. And they're over in all parts of Africa and in different emerging markets and all over the world. And essentially, they created an application to help simplify detecting Ebola and scanning the search results. So now they don't have to wait weeks to get back a report. They scan in digitally with their technology, and within a few seconds, a nurse can diagnose. So when they're in quarantine zones or anything like that, it's really amazing to see what they can build when they're integrating such deeply into the hardware.
Yeah.
So while consumer is amazing, it's really everything that you can possibly do, and these other things that we don't think about on a daily basis that app developers are creating.
Yeah. You know? Awesome. So I'm gonna riff on that a little bit. I've got an app that we built in conjunction with a humanitarian toolkit, right? Yeah. And these guys, they built an app in conjunction also with the Red Cross. And what happens is when there is a devastating calamity in the world, right? And a tornado has hit, or there's been a hurricane, or something has gone on, you really need to be able to coordinate your volunteer resources as they kind of come in and fill in to try and help people help themselves get out of this mess, right? And so in coordination with the Red Cross, we built this app that actually helps all of these volunteers coordinate their resources so that they can get water, so that when volunteers arrive into town, they know which station to go to and what sort of activities they can volunteer for that match up with their skill sets. Super, super cool stuff. We also see it in a lot of businesses as well. Apache Cordova gets used by a lot of businesses, particularly for internal apps. So you see things like Publix or Alaska Airlines or American Airlines making use of Cordova technologies to deliver apps that get used in manufacturing facilities, on the sales floor, or like in Target, the little app that's being used by all the sales folks there on the floor to do scanning and that kind of stuff. Apache Cordova. There you go. All right. So next question here. I got my little cheat sheet here, guys. So how do we know these cross-platform technologies? Like, clearly, the Googles of the world and the Apples of the world have a vested interest in protecting their own ecosystems, and many of them have a language that is their language of choice. So how do we know that all of the different kind of ecosystems and the stores are going to continue allowing cross-platform applications into their stores in the future, right? How can we be sure of that? This cross-platform idea, it really kind of eats away maybe at some of the business one might imagine for you know, Apple or Google. James, I'll let you take this one.
Oh man, it's an interesting one. I do actually get asked this quite often.
Yeah.
And we have great relationships with Apple and Google, and I work closely with the Google team, a lot of their product teams, a lot of things around Google Play services and the support libraries. Android's like crazy, and I'm sure you know. It's just like surprising it all works. I love it. It's like a beautiful disaster. But I love it. It's my favorite platform, so I think I'm allowed to say it. Because I've been in it. I love it. And Android is amazing. And when you work and talk to Google and Apple, they want the apps. Like, they want the apps in the app store.
Yep.
Whether you're doing it in C++, you're doing Unity, you're doing it in Cordova, they want the apps. But what they want to protect is good applications in their app store and not malware applications. So there's certain things about changing like complete functionality in your application or something like that, but is interesting. But I think if you actually read the agreements and actually the terms, like there's actual languages in there for any of the things about that they allow these in. But it's the relationships that you build and that they want the applications in there. But for Xamarin, you know, we are compiling down to the native assembly. So it's a native ARM binary. So it's not like you're just like busting it open and you're just like, oh, what's this stuff? So it is just bytecode. It's ARM. It's machine code running on an iOS device at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So for me, in the last 5 years of doing Xamarin development, that's actually never been a question that's really crossed my mind.
Awesome. Whoops.
All right, guys.
Uh-oh.
I have to go for...
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yelling really loud.
I know.
All right. Wah-wah. Yeah. Or done all right. To this.
Audio team, can I go for the mic?
No, go for it.
Take that guy off. One, two, three.
Nope.
All right.
Two.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to get you a mic.
Incoming.
Incoming, yeah.
Use this one.
Thank you, sir.
All right, folks. Oh, my gosh, this is so much better. All right, let's keep it going on. So, next. Clearly, there was a huge announcement today, right, that Xamarin is going to be included, same price, cost included, with Visual Studio. That changes things. How will Microsoft's cross-platform strategy change now that Xamarin's part of the family and that Xamarin, from a cost perspective, is really just included as is, right? JB, how's that going to change for Unity, and how's it going to change for Microsoft at large?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I cannot talk for Unity, obviously, but the recent announcement with Mono being completely open source as MIT, currently Unity is still using an old version of Mono, and we can hope that in the future Unity can converge to use a more recent version of Mono, at least for the editor, and possibly elsewhere.
All right.
Yeah, I think one thing that's also pretty characteristic about the C# developers is that a lot of the enterprise guys also have a lot of C++ code. And I think what this actually changes for us is that, you know, we will try to perhaps build even a better experience, especially on iOS or when you're targeting iOS. For someone who actually has Xamarin and C++ code or has C# and C++ code, and he's trying to take that particular piece of code to mobile platforms. So right now, like, we already have a story for Android that you can do on the Windows platform using Visual Studio. But when it comes to the Mac and when it comes to targeting iOS, because of Apple licensing and so on, you know, the experience is not that great. You have to use multiple IDEs, multiple different solutions when you're writing that C#, C++ code paired together, targeting iOS. And I think that's something definitely that we can look into improving the experience there. Also, the other thing is, you know, I think from a Microsoft standpoint, you know, we have Visual Studio in Windows, and that's kind of like our go-to IDE for doing everything. That works out great when you're targeting Windows and perhaps Android even. But a lot of mobile developers these days carry Macs, as Ryan himself here. And that makes it really harder for us to be able to build developer tools that people can actually use on the native platforms and target and use themselves to write these kind of apps. With Xamarin Studio being there on iOS and Mac platform already, we can perhaps, you know, add more experiences to it to, you know, pair better with some of the technologies that we have, C++ and JavaScript.
I think that's a big one, right? Like, all of a sudden, that opens up a whole new world of kind of Mac-based IDE development that really, like, Visual Studio has traditionally been a Windows-based IDE.
Exactly,
and within the last, when did Visual Studio Code go out? A year and a half ago?
About a year and a half ago.
Yeah. So since then, we've opened up a big world with Visual Studio Code as a lightweight text editor, but there's really no IDE, right, within Mac, right?
Yeah.
And I think now there's a foothold there, and a really awesome IDE already, right? And so there's a lot for us to build on there. James, how do you think, man? How's it going to set things up?
I'm super excited. I remember when there was the announcement, I was super excited. I got to actually have lunch with Scott Gu one day, and he was telling me about it excited.
Was he wearing his red shirt?
He was wearing his red shirt.
Awesome.
I actually inquired a little bit. I was like, you must get that question 1,000 times. I didn't inquire, actually. I sat down, and I just actually told him. I was like, Nat, our CEO, he's like, you're going to have lunch with Scott tomorrow. I was like, what do I say to Scott? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, all right, I'll just tell him a story of how I met my girlfriend. And that was it. Like, that was my lunch. And then I was like, well, how do we fit in? And he's like, I just want C# and .NET to be used everywhere. And like, that's what I've always wanted. Like, when I was a customer for 2 years creating Xamarin apps. Then I joined Xamarin because I just love creating these applications. I want every single developer to be just as successful as I was creating great cross-platform apps. I think we all do.
Yep.
So I think what we are going to see is that not only did we open source Xamarin, but we open source all the new monobits under MIT. We open up open source Xamarin forms coming soon. We just want all of the amazing C# and F# and .NET developers to build great cross-platform apps. So the tooling's going to get better. We're going to get better integration with C++. The awesome stuff's going to come to Unity. Like, it's just going to be a more beautiful, wonderful world, and the ecosystem of developers is going to explode. And that's what, like, I'm super excited about. The tooling.
I think you kind of touched on an interesting point there, and the open sourcing of it all. How does that actually change the way that we approach engaging with developers and engaging with the tools and building the tools? I think, you know, the trend towards open source at Microsoft. Microsoft has always played around in open source, but never really quite to the extent that we have for the past couple of years. How has that changed the way that you guys have been able to work and been able to deliver new tools and new technologies to developers? JB, I'll start with you.
Yes, that's a good question. In terms of Unity, we know that they're possibly looking into also using .NET Core for their runtime, or bits of it, again, with the idea of converging on a common platform.
All right. Ankit, like you guys end up using a lot of open source as well, right?
Yeah, I think I will actually start with saying, like, in the old Microsoft days, you know, when we make something open source, that's our way of saying that we don't believe in this technology, and it is dead. But those days are long gone, and I think there's a lot of benefits that open innovation essentially brings. When you're talking about, like, the Android platform, to, you know, one of the questions you asked earlier, Ryan, was about, you know, which of the platforms really care about controlling, you know, what languages you're using to write your apps, right? Apple's very finicky about it, but Android, for example, it's the most open platform. I mean, you know, when you're writing an Android app in C++, you can actually, I think they actually have about 4 compilers that they ship in the native development kit. So it's GCC, Clang, different versions of GCC and Clang, about 3 or 4 linkers for your tools and so on. So I think, like, you know, it's really the fact that with the open source community, even if you're trying to control the experience on your platform, you can still go about, you know, making sure that things that you really care about, you own, but you can really extend certain experiences via great plugins and so on. And I think, like, on the C++ line, there's a few frameworks there that are out there. Dropbox and Facebook Moments use Digini, for example, which is something that people can build on top of. There's other examples there as well from a tooling perspective, especially in Clang community. Clang compiles Objective-C to compile Swift, compiles C++, and a lot of other languages as well. So, you know, being able to build on that actually helps the, you know, make every single developer who's using these tools more productive. And also bring some more consistent environment. So, for example, changing compilers and changing IDEs is really troublesome. I'm not sure if they have that problem in C# because Microsoft has historically owned C# and controlled it.
Yeah.
But in C++, you know, there's a different compiler on Linux, different compiler on Mac, different compiler on Windows. And there was a guy stopped by our booth yesterday, and he was just talking about the fact that he did his homework assignment on the Linux platform with the GCC compiler, and then he moved his course to Windows, and his code won't compile, and he failed the course. So I think, like, you know, those kind of days are gone because we're kind of making strides in open innovation and, you know, using and leveraging open source technology and building on top of that as well. Our Android Story in Visual Studio uses all open source tools with Clang and GCC and so on. So that's really what I would say there.
Yeah. For my team, you know, I myself am a contributor and a kind of an Apache committer as well. And so I spend a lot of time working with open source just as part of my regular job. In fact, I mean, growing up in the web community, it's all open source, right? A huge amount of it is open source. And I think that, you know, what I've been able to see is that Microsoft as a technology, how to put this, as a significant force in the technology world, we still have limited resources. When it comes down to it, there are still only so many developers. And the structure of open source has allowed us to collaborate with folks like Adobe or Google, or even on occasions folks like IBM or SAP, in a way where that the legal structure provided by open source allowed us to essentially do a lot more than we could have otherwise. This is especially true in the areas of cross-platform development with JavaScript, because the whole stack is open source. You pretty much have to depend upon and have to leverage the work of a lot of other developers that came before you. And really kind of being able to stand on the progress of a lot of smart developers that came before us has allowed us to create a more reliable, more solid, more extensible platform with a much larger community, where if there's need for a Bluetooth plugin, heck, buddy, we don't have to go build it ourselves as Microsoft. We can go out, we can see what someone else has done, we can contribute to the project to make it more kind of robust, to harden it from a security standpoint, but we don't have to start from scratch every time. And I think that's really, really significant.
Yeah.
So, James, on you, on the same thing, you sparked this whole thread, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love the open source community. I remember when I joined Xamarin and my GitHub went from nothing to just all green all the time, and I'm like always be committing, always be pushing code. And you're right. We build off of, like, I build and I say, what did I do 5 years ago that I never want to do again? And no developer should have to go write a bunch of Bluetooth logic or Wi-Fi logic. Let's go create these plugins. We do the same thing, plugins for Xamarin and Windows.
Yep.
Do the same cross-platform story. But seeing how we did it, how we got to the bits and where it's going, I think the open source story now more than ever is really important. Because when new tools are being developed or new integrations are out there, we want the best tools. And I think you kind of talked about the just making everything kind of work the same. Like, for me as a developer, I've always said that I'm a mid to high level developer. When I get down the nits and bits and the bytes and how it's all working, it just works for me. I'm cool. Because I shouldn't have to worry. Like, that's the best part of it being a Xamarin developer, is I've never had to worry in 5 years. I compile, it goes, and it works. My .NET code works. If you look at the latest Mono 4.0 releases, we work so closely with the .NET team at Microsoft. Rich Lander, good friend, one of my favorite Canadians. They're all great, so nice. And he's over in Redmond, and I talk to him all the time. And we work so closely with him to bring together and marry the .NET open source with the Mono framework and bring them together. So as a .NET, C# or F# developer, you write some logic and it just works. I think that's so important no matter where we're at. And that's where this brand new openness is going to really elevate all of mobile development, not just in the runtime. So everything, the tooling, the libraries that we use on a day-to-day basis, but also, like, to hint back at what Scott Hanselman was just on stage saying, is that we as developers have that kind of responsibility. Like, we're leaders up here that have done tons of open source, but there's tons of new developers that it's their first time. Yeah. It's their first time creating a GitHub account. It's their first issue. And I've learned my lessons of how to properly respond or that, and kind of doing your due diligence. And Scott's a big advocate of your first pull request, your first feature. And I think that's something that we up here can really do, and all of us can do on a day-to-day basis, make that a great open community.
That actually that brings to mind one of the other things that is truly awesome about this is, previously, you would never see a line of code that came from a customer that made its way back into a Microsoft technology. And today, it's really, like, it's a cool thing to be able to receive code back from developers who are using our tools, and for them to say, hey, here's a PR for this.
Yeah.
This totally fixes a problem that I had as a developer. Then Microsoft engineers can go back, they can do a code review of it, make sure everything checks out. But when that customer, when that developer sees their code make its way back into the framework, back into the runtime, like there's a real feeling of community ownership over the tools and over the frameworks, more so than just kind of passive users of it. And that is a very cool thing.
And it sparks the next generation of plugins and things that we're going to use and libraries we're going to create. The first time they create something new, and they see their app. I remember I opened the Woot app for Android, and I saw my name in the credits for open source license. I was like, whoa, what did I do? That's amazing.
Awesome.
I was like, so cool. I was like, I guess that was my MIT license that they put it there. And that was so cool. I think that can really spark brand new awesome things, whether it's a pull request or a library.
All right, well, let's pull it back to the actual cross-platform piece of it itself and talk a little bit about the technology. So like, clearly, we have four very disparate technologies here, very, very different approaches. But that doesn't mean that they don't have an awful lot in common as well, if nothing else, just philosophically that they're all cross-platform.
Yeah.
So I'll kind of pair up you two there, Ankit and James. Like, what do you guys see? Yeah, hugs all around.
We both love C++ and C#.
So what do the frameworks have in common? What do you see that actually like binds these two together and really maybe even how they can work together?
Well, I think the hard work that his team has done to bring C++ easily into Android applications and hopefully iOS, I mean, what binds us together is that we want to create rich native experiences, and our developers do. Mm-hmm. And whether they're using C# and accessing the native APIs with the rich language features or bringing in C++ libraries, they're able to do that. Mirroring a world of C# and C++ should be easy, and that's what the team has kind of done, to get down to the metal if you need to. But also productivity, I think, is a real gain. So if you're really productive with C# and Visual Studio, you're there, same with C++, making great tooling around it. But for us, it's really about building those native applications and native experiences and leveraging what you want. So if you're a C++ developer or C# developer, and I've wrote plenty of C++ code, so I can leverage some of the hard work you've done.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, right? I think James really nailed it. But the other thing I would say is that when you're writing C# code, when you're writing C++ code today, and you want to target three different mobile platforms, you have to use Xcode for iOS. You have to use Visual Studio for Windows. You have to use Android Studio or Eclipse for Android. And each one of them has a different UI pattern. Each one of them has a different sense of how the emulation simulation experience goes. The debugging experience is different. The language service code editing experience is different, and so on. But if you think about Visual Studio as a product on the C# line, we have almost one of the best experiences from a productivity experience for developers to write that code. And now when you marry that with C++ for multiple reasons that you would do that for, whether that's performance, whether that's reuse of your code, whether that's the cross-platform nature, and the power that Visual Studio gives you from a C++ development experience, is awesome. We've been historically there for years and years, and working with enterprise developers and Windows developers, we've really been able to really make C# and C++ experience really, really, really nice. The other thing I'll touch on is also interfacing between languages. For example, when you're interfacing between Java and C++, you use JNI or Java Native Interface, and it's a little bit kludgy to use that because you basically go and use this archaic tool to generate a header file, and there's marshalling going on for your Java objects where an int in Java becomes a jint in C++, and it's slow and so on. Whereas in C# and C++, you just basically add a decorative name to your function p-invoke, and you're ready to go. Your experience is great. Same thing goes for mixed mode debugging. When it comes to debugging and looking at a call stack, being able to view your C# and C++ there in the same call stack window, which is really hard to do for other languages. And, there's no solution there for Java and C++ today when it comes to Android development. That gives an idea of how these two have been married together for a happy, successful marriage, and we will continue to do that for some time to go.
Yeah, the best tools, no matter what platform you're on, like same thing in Xamarin Studio on a Mac, I think, for productivity, whether you have a team that's diverse, that's focused on Mac development and iOS development, or over in Android and Windows and iOS over in Visual Studio, same project, same solutions, same C++ library, same .NET library, same NuGet. Like, it's this beautiful productivity world where I just click what I want and dot do it.
Yeah. This is actually, that kind of gets to one of the things that, JB, as you were talking earlier about the tooling experience within Unity. I think that's actually one of the pieces that ties Unity and Cordova together, and React Native for that matter. In the React Native world, it gets called hot loading. In the Cordova world, it gets called live reload or something like that. And it's that ability to be able to make changes and have them immediately, sometimes not even upon save, just upon keystroke, actually see that reflected back in the running app. That focus on tooling is a really important one, and allows a level of iterative development that isn't really possible in a lot of other areas where you've got to do a full compile each time.
Yeah, that's true. Especially with Unity, where something like for a game where design is so important, you really want to be able to see very easily all the changes in your game. And something very iterative like Unity, where you see immediately all the changes, it's very important to create your game. And we have the same tooling as Xamarin pretty much. When you compile a game for Unity, it ends up being native code running. And if you need specific code for the platform, you'll end up probably writing C++ or native plugins that you use from Unity.
Yep.
So overall, it's very similar technologies, and you write C# for your game, and it all plugs in together.
Yeah, I think I will add there, like, you know, to the experience that I think JB explained so well, is that I think Unity, I mean, you know, even though I'm a C++ guy and talking about C++ here, you know, I think the other thing they do is that they tie in the end-to-end experience. So as a game developer, especially if I'm an indie game developer and I'm looking for analytics on what portion of the game that people really like, I can use Unity Analytics. If I have a large team, I'm making a AA game, and I want to be able to use, you can use Unity Cloud Build to schedule and pipeline your builds. So it's the end-to-end experience. It's not just about the editable debug cycle, but they've thought beyond that and covered some of the you know, issues that people face today.
Yeah.
And the best part about Unity is that it's actually written in C++, if I'm not wrong. Is that right, Jim?
Yeah, the runtime itself is.
So, you know.
Or the core math 3D stuff is C++.
Yeah, and I think, and also on the C# on the Windows side, it's amazing, but, you know, the C++ optimizer with .NET Native, you know, it's still the C++ optimizer that gets used to do some of the stuff on C# on Windows. Not Xamarin yet, but that's something else that, you know, so it just ties into the experiences there.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So we've hit on a lot of positive stuff here, right? And we've had our group hugs over there and all that. But like, it's truth time for a second. I wanna get real.
All right.
JB, I'll start with you.
Okay.
What compromises do you make using Unity?
All right. Yes, that's a good one. Like, Unity enforces a way to work with, like, you have to adopt the Unity way of working. And if you're a hardcore C++ developer that is almost as fascinated writing your game engine than writing the game, you could be frustrated because Unity abstracts a lot of things away from you. And it, on the plus side, it allows you to focus on the game itself. But if you're mostly interested in the technology, the underlying technology into the game, Unity takes care of that for you. So that's
right.
One of the drawbacks.
Yeah, that's a real drawback. All right, Ankit, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, I think for C++, it goes back that C++, you know, when you're making an app on Windows versus Linux versus Mac, or you're targeting Android, iOS versus Windows, there's a different set of tools that are out there. There's the Clang compiler toolset on Mac. There's GCC and Clang now on Android. There's a Windows compiler on Windows. And there's three different IDEs. So it makes it really hard. I mean, because, you know, if you're a team of, like, multiple people, and especially with Microsoft, a lot of our internal apps like Office and Skype have teams working in India and in the United States and so on. So when you're trying to coordinate and you're trying to have, like, one build system, or when you're trying to have, like, a similar debugging experience, a similar set of tools for validating and figuring out issues and so on and testing, it just basically increases your test matrix, your acquisition matrix, learning curve for new people joining your team, because you have to use three different set of tools. So some of these problems is what we're really addressing with Visual Studio 2015, where the C++ experience that we provide, Visual Studio allows you to target all platforms as a C++ developer, whether that's Android, iOS, Mac, Windows, Linux. You know, there is one tool for it today that it does it all, and that's Visual Studio. So you can just really try that out.
Yeah, I mean, I think you touch on what is, for me, one of the drawbacks of cross-platform development at large, which is that it's cross-platform development. You still, at the end of the day, need the SDKs for all three or more native platforms.
Yeah.
And that is like, that increases the acquisition matrix, that increases the deployment matrix, the publishing matrix, and the test matrix as well. And so you do get all of the benefit of shared code, which is significant, but you still have to deal with three platforms, and that complicates things.
Yeah, I think at least, you know, there's some tools like VSTS and some other CI and CD like distribution that help with that, but you're right, you know, you still have to have a Mac because of that's where the SDKs for iOS and Mac live, you know, and they can be somewhere in a cloud somewhere, but it's easier if it's just there, but you just can't use Visual Studio, like, you know, you gotta switch over back and forth. And we've done, all of us have, we've worked really hard, whether it's on the C++ team or the Cordova tooling or Xamarin or communities, we want to simplify that process. So you want to be able to push code and go. So I think that's just a generic cross-platform problem. Totally. And actually, when developers ask me, I get this question asked like, well, what? There's got to be a gotcha with Xamarin. What's the gotcha? What's the one thing? And I get this question all the time. I say, well, I always like to say there's nothing wrong, because I've been great. But there is. I mean, we all run into these issues, which are just generic. You got to learn the platforms. It's important to know how they work. I think as a C# Xamarin developer creating iOS and Android and Windows apps, the one difficult part is that there's an immense ecosystem of Objective-C, Swift, and Java developers that are not doing cross-platform development.
Yep.
There's an immense amount of libraries that are out there, and while the Xamarin and C# development community has grown, and we have 1.3 million developers and tons, and we're going to explode, and hopefully even more go from now creating applications. But if you find a library, you're like, oh man, I want to use this, and then you're like, or how do I do that? Now, we've simplified that so you can bring in Objective-C and Swift and Java libraries into your application. You got to run some command line stuff or create a binding project or convert Java and uppercase a bunch of stuff. We've made it simple that the APIs match one-to-one, though. But I would say that's the one little thing. And I've converted a lot of libraries, but I think as the development community grows and as the tooling gets even better, that'll be less of an issue.
All right, cool. So we're nearly here at the end. I want to wrap it up with a 30-second pitch from each of you. So why should someone go out today and use Unity? Start with you, and then and where do you go to get it?
Yeah, the best thing to get started is on unity3d.com. They have a free version that you can use for free if you're making under $100,000 a year, which is a good problem to have. And it's the best way to get started creating a 3D game very easily using the Visual Studio C# IDE that you love, and deploy your cross-platform game on all mobiles, all console, and all desktops if you want, and even on the web with WebGL now.
All right, cool. Ankit.
Yeah, I think with C++, I mean, you know, you're in safe hands because it's a platform-supported language, whether it's Android, iOS, or Windows. All these three companies that make these platforms support C++ at a core level. You have IDE support for it. You have debugging support for it. C++, you know, if you're writing a game or you're writing a consumer app and you care about performance or you care about being able to use that code and be able to compile it later, some people usually start with Android or iOS and then write the Windows app or vice versa. So, you know, C++ is one of those techniques that allows you to do that. In addition to that, I mean, I'm sure, you know, C++ has been around for the years, and you know, there's a lot of C++ developers out there, so you can even if you're trying to contract some of the work out to different companies, that's something that, you know, you can actually hire developers for and so on. So I think C++, whether you're writing a game or a consumer app, or you're trying to reuse the existing code that you have, you know, C++ is a very safe choice from that perspective.
All right, James.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, you know, there's 6 million C# developers and hopefully a whole lot more that will be coming up. And to me, it's all about creating native, rich experiences, whether it's a game, an enterprise app, or a consumer app. At Xamarin, we do just that. You're sharing 70, 80%, if not all the way up to 100% of your common business logic, all your .NET stuff, giving you 100% API access to every single thing on iOS, Android, and Mac, accessing all that in C#. So if you need to get down and access an API and add a rich, awesome feature, you can. But you're doing it all in C# in the tools and Visual Studio that you know and love completely for free.
All right.
Yeah,
cool.
For free. I think that's
for
probably
free.
For free.
That's
for free. Yeah. Yeah. Just all go right. And download it at Xamarin.com or the Visual Studio tool.
Or Visual Studio, right?
It's actually included in Visual Studio. All of our tools.
All of these. Yeah. I think that's a good takeaway. If any of you are installing Visual Studio 2015, there's just a little checkbox for cross-platform tooling. You'll get all four. Right.
Install it all.
So I'll give my pitch here for Cordova. It's really this. If you love the web, if you love web technologies, JavaScript, CSS, HTML, or you are coming from a team that has investments in browser-based applications, it is extraordinarily easy and it is extraordinarily fast to bring those applications to market. By being fast, that also means that the cost of maintenance over time is way lower. And so particularly in the enterprise, if you've got a business-facing application and you want to bring it up quickly, Cordova is an excellent choice. You can get it, as we said, by checking the box in Visual Studio, or if you happen to be a fan of lightweight text editors and you're a VS Code fan, you can also install the Tools for Apache Cordova extension, which also has support for Ionic Framework. So,
awesome.
With all of that, we've got a minute maybe for questions.
We have like 20 seconds.
So
negative 30 seconds.
Yeah, 30 seconds. They'll let us give another 30 seconds. Any questions?
All right. No, they said no.
We will be around afterwards. Please come ask us questions and enjoy the rest of the conference, y'all. Have an awesome time.
Thanks.
Thank you.